then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very not.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Welcome into Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Not Kevin Danna tonight. It's Mark Randy filling in alongside Gary St. Jean. As always, you'll hear Kevin Danna back again here next week on Warriors Roundtable. Until then, it'll be Mark, myself, and Saint with you here until 7 o'clock again on Warriors Roundtable. The Warriors 24-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. We are now less than 2 days away from the NBA trade deadline. Thursday at noon Pacific time is the deadline for teams, including the Warriors, to get deals done. Saint and I will talk about that. Also, a lot of Warriors basketball happened over the weekend, including Friday night, a rough loss against Kevin Durant and the Suns. And then yesterday on Monday, the Warriors got a nice win against a team that, you know, was putting up a good fight against them. They had to win that game a couple of times against the defensive-minded Magic, but the Warriors got the job done. We'll break all of that down. And Saint, maybe the wildest weekend of trades in NBA history. First of all, Saint, it's great to be on with you here on Warriors Roundtable. How you doing?
Well, I'm great. You know, it's such a quiet time in the NBA, and I'm sorry that you're coming in on such a, you know, we got nothing going on, yeah. Nothing to talk about, and holy moly, I'm still in shock, you know, over the Luka deal with Davis. It just blows my mind, and, you know, you see Fox going down to San Antonio, and I just got a feeling that everybody wants a little taste of this, and I think there's going to be more to come here the next couple days. With the salary cap structure the way it is, it's really difficult to make deals, so I think we might see some more versus two-team. We might see some three-team deals, maybe four. And the question now is, you know, what's going to happen with Butler? And there's a lot of Durant rumors, and, you know, what's going to happen with Ingram? So there's a lot of guys out there whose names are circling around the league.
Yeah, for real. Really, I mean, there's plenty to get into, and you said something that I want to circle back to in just a sec, but I did also want to remind everybody that, as we always do here on Warriors Roundtable, we're handing out a couple of tickets to a future Warrior game. So if you want to try to win those pairs, those two tickets, the single pair of tickets to a future Warrior game, just keep it locked here to Warriors Roundtable. Write down the contest line. It's 415-523-4652. Don't call just yet. I'll tell you when to call, and then you can, again, call the contest line for your chance to win the tickets to a future Warrior game. But, Saint, you talked about the Luka Doncic trade. Essentially, there were some other pieces, but it was Luka for Anthony Davis. The Mavericks also get back a first-round pick from the Lakers. And you said maybe this is something that is encouraging every other team around the league, including the Warriors, to try to get in on the act. There was a report earlier this week that the Warriors have called almost every team about their star player. Maybe the Warriors feel like there's more juice to a potential superstar, another superstar being moved, than they previously thought.
Well, I think everybody's motivated to try to get better, and especially in the West. You look at this thing, and you know, you've got that top four, and from down to 13 from there, you got just a couple game separation. And if you look at the history of this franchise since Joe Lacob and his group bought the team, they've been proactive. They want to get in there. And so I'm sure Mike Dunleavy's got some Visine out. He's probably he's got it on the speaker. But, you know, this time of the year, you've got your whiteboard and you're writing down all the options that you've created and potential that what can happen. And maybe you can't deal directly with a team, but maybe we can do something together with another team. And it's a great time of the year. I know when I was GM, I had a couple nights where I had to beg Eric Hausen in the equipment room at the old place over in Oakland. He had a bunk bed. And I asked him if I could sleep there instead of driving all the way out to Danville. And because you had to get up early to make the Eastern calls, because those guys are ready to start talking like at 8 o'clock, which is 5 o'clock our time. So it's just really exciting, and it can be exhilarating, or it can be a big downer.
Yeah, I mean, you need two sides to make a deal work, and you might have everything worked out on your end. You might have a deal in principle agreed upon, and then, I don't know, something changes on the other end. If you guys want to ask Saint a question about the trade deadline, about the Warriors, give us a call, 888-957-9570. I also have my eye on the text line if you prefer to text in your question to Saint. It's Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. I don't imagine, as you're talking about, when you are the general manager and you're in charge of kind of steering the ship here around the deadline, I don't imagine Mike Dunleavy's getting much sleep. And it's something that Steve Kerr said earlier today on this very station on 95.7 The Game. He said for every trade that gets made, there's like a call or 100 other potential trades that fail. Can you just take us through like the life of a general manager in these couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline? Because I'm sure most of us on the outside don't really understand all of the work that goes into it, because most of the work results in no trades at all.
Well, you've been in constant contact with the other 29 teams. I'm talking once a week, you or your assistants are talking to the other team, and the conversation goes like this. You know, geez, you guys are really playing well. You've got a lot of guys at the guard spot. Are you interested in moving any of these guys? And who do you like from our team? And is there something we can do? Do you like any of our picks? And you kind of go at it that way, and you're logging everything. And this goes on week after week after week, and you're building up like a syllabus on each team. And you're saying, well, geez, I just can't do anything with San Antonio. They won't trade Wembanyama. But, you know, maybe I can talk to Houston because they've got so many young guys. They may want. So it's that scenario, and you're on the phone, gosh, the whole day. And what's Steve, a lot of people don't know, Steve was GM for a while down in Phoenix. And it is true. You might make 100 calls to get one serious conversation. It's a lot of work. But here's the deal. Mike's having constant conversations with his staff, but he's also having a lot of conversations with the ownership group. And then he's keeping Steve Kerr up to date as well. And so they're going forward here, and they may be, I don't know how strong it might be, but they might have plan A, B, C, and D, and they're trying to, you know, just get those moving a little bit more further. What can we do to enhance this? And, you know, the Warriors have done a good job keeping their picks, and so it's quite a time. My problem is I ate a lot of chocolate chip cookies for those 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to locked in. I mean,
yeah,
I can imagine maybe you get down the line with another fellow GM and you feel like you got some momentum, and then they pull the rug out from under you, and you just, you know, you turn to the chocolate cookie jar, and you got to try to find a way to make yourself feel better in those moments.
You know, it's tough. There's a lot of ups and downs. And you know, you're really busting it to get something done, and you just might strike out.
Yeah,
you know, you're saying there, and you want to try to help your coach and your team get a little bit better. And of course, when you make a deal, you know, we don't think enough about the fact that they're young men, and you're really changing their lives. And it's a tough adjustment coming in, meeting the new teammates and the coaches. And you know, you have a lot of conversations about your role and what you're going to be doing, what's expected of you. And conversely, when you're moving, you know, who's going to help you? If you got a family, you know, concerns about them. So, you know, for example, we'll talk some more about Luka, but he wasn't too happy, I'm going to tell you. And, you know, he loved it there, and he thought he was there for life. And I think it made a lot of people open their eyes and say, holy cow. I mean, if they're going to trade Luka, then almost anybody in the league, the only two guys with, you know, non-tradable contracts are LeBron and Beal. And so everybody else, You know, open your eyes and ears and get ready. You never know.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little bit more about the Luka deal because I know you have a family connection. Your son, assistant coach now for the Lakers, but also has spent time with Luka in Dallas.
Exactly.
So we'll get to that in a little bit. Before we take our first break, though, I did want to sneak in a call, and you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Matt is in the city and wants to ask Saint a question. Matt, what's up? You're on Warriors Roundtable. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, Saint, I just want to ask you, what do you think the Warriors need? In my opinion, the Warriors need a big man, maybe a stretch big, ideally.
Yeah.
Somebody who can maybe be a little bit of an enforcer, maybe.
Yeah, that's the perfect scenario, to get a big that can really cause some problems in the paint, you know, contest shots, defensive rebound. And then you determine whether he's a pick-and-pop or a pick-and-roll guy. Now, this young guy from Boston College is a pick-and-pop guy. When you play Davis, he's a pick-and-roll. And you want to try to upgrade that position. But I've said this all season long. Last night was interesting to me because, you know, Steph scores well, and Wiggins scores well, and Moody scores well. Well, it's been a very inconsistent second scorer situation for the Warriors this year. And, you know, you had Klay Thompson, and sometimes you take that for granted. But, you know, he's going to give you 20-plus. You know, it's Batman and Robin or whatever we're going to call them. And they got the job done for over 10 years. And right now it's been, you know, well, who's going to step up tonight? And that causes some concern when you're coaching and, you know, whether you're going to be able to get some W's.
Yeah, stretch big is obviously, I think, a big need.
And they're hard to find.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why the Warriors desperately need them, because they're very valuable, and there's not a ton
of them. Yeah, like, for example, who have they been talking about? Well, one is Vucevic in Chicago, and he does fit that bill. Really experienced guy, smart player, and can hit the pick and pop, hit the 17-footer. He's a pretty darn good rebounder. He's had a good career. On the other side of the coin, Valanciunas is more like an aircraft carrier. He's just big, 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 big. And he's effective like from 10 feet in. But, you know, he can set picks. He can pass it okay. So I would think those two guys would be the primary guys. Now, I don't know about Turner in Indiana. Now, they're saying his contract's up. He wants some serious money. So we'll see what they're going to do there. Indiana's really playing well. So maybe they'll ride that thing out and negotiate at the end of the year. But I don't know, Mark, you help me. Those are the three primary names that are really out there. The guy, the backup center for the Knicks, Sims, his name is out there. Williams, who was in Boston, who's very injury prone. He's up there in Portland. His name has come up. So, you know, those are the guys. You're not going to get Anthony Davis.
No, he's already been traded. I will say there's another big, tall player who can shoot who might be available. He doesn't play the five, but his name is Kevin Durant, Saint. And
oh,
we can talk about that coming up on the other side as well. Plus, we still got to react to the Luka Doncic trade. This is Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. And hey, a reminder, the WNBA is coming to Chase Center in May. The Valkyries' inaugural season, presented by Kaiser Permanente, kicks off on May 16th. Learn more at valkyries.com. That's VALKYRIES.com. It's Warriors Roundtable. I'm Mark Randy, in for Kevin Dana. That's the saintly one, Gary St. Jean. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. This is Mark Randy in for Kevin Dana. Kevin will be back next week here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. But Gary St. Jean with us as always. I want to hear Gary talk about the Luka Doncic trade because he has a family connection to that. We'll get to that in just a second. But I also wanted to remind you that the 74th All-Star Game is at Chase Center on Sunday, February 16th. Plus other events throughout the weekend like Castrol Rising Stars, featuring Trace Jackson Davis and Pat Spencer. Sign up for updates and learn more at warriors.com/all-star. All-Star Weekend should be a ton of fun here in at Chase Center in San Francisco and in the greater Bay Area. Looking forward to that now, just 10 days away from the beginning of NBA All-Star 2025. Also, before we get back to the Warriors talk, now is your opportunity to win two tickets to a future Warrior game. If you want to win this pair of tickets, all you have to do is be caller number 7 to our contest line right now. And that number is 415-523-4652. Again, caller number 7, 415-523-4652. The 7th caller will win a pair of tickets to a future Warrior game. And who knows, you might be able to see the newest Warrior in action if the Dubs do make a move at the trade deadline. If you don't win this time, you can try again next week. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets on every edition of Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Okay, Saint, welcome back. I need you to tell me what you know about this Luka Doncic deal, because when I glanced down at my phone on Saturday night and saw the news, I must have read it 20 times before the reality sank in. That shocked me like no other news in sports has in a really long time.
You know, MJ and I were at a friend's house. We were watching a movie, and it was coming to the end. And all of a sudden, my phone starts ding, ding, dinging. And I'm looking down, and I said, that can't happen. That's no way. So I was really anxious for the movie to end. So I wouldn't interrupt everybody, and I had to look and figure out what the heck was going on. And, you know, you're right in what you're saying. We haven't had any all-pro guys traded for each other in the middle of the season. I mean, very special players. So I think it's just put a whoa to everybody in the whole league. Like, this, a lot of stuff can happen. And Luka's only 25 years old. That's the thing you got to think about with him. Whereas, Davis is 31. He was in New Orleans for quite a long time, comes to the Lakers. And, of course, my son was with both these guys, because when the Lakers won the championship with Frank Vogel, the key guys, again, were LeBron and Davis. And, you know, I'm so happy for him, because the last 2 years, he's played a lot of games. And that was the big question about him, you know, always injured all the time. And then you got Luka, and, you know, he's 5 times in a row All-Pro. He's 25 years old.
And first team All-Pro, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a record. And you look at him and you say, well, geez, he's not in great shape. And is that the reason why he's getting hurt? And, you know, what's his mindset? Is he a we and us guy, or is he an I and me guy? And I know, talking to Greg, this really hurt him, because he thought he was there for the rest of his career. And the Dallas fans, you know, they've been marching out in front of the arena. They're wanting their ticket money back, their season ticket money. They're offering refunds to him. This guy, I guess you'd say Dirk Nowitzki and Troy Aikman and him are the three probably most famous guys in Dallas sports. And so he was shocked. And he gets there, has the press conference, and my son worked him out yesterday. And, you know, he, as I said, I think shock is the word. He's really hurt, and I think he's angry. And I think that's going to be good for him. I think he's going to, like, they're both coming off injuries. I think Davis will probably play by the weekend. And maybe Luka will, too. And I look at Luka, and people are saying, how are they going to play together? Him and LeBron are both ball dominant. Well, let me tell you, two fantastic players, they learn how to play together pretty well. And you look at LeBron's past, whether it was Davis, whether it was Kyrie, or the guys in Cleveland or down in Miami he was with. So I'm not that worried about it. And you know, what you're doing is short-term, you're going for it. If you're in Dallas, you've really, really elevated your team in terms of the front line with their defense. And then in the L.A. standpoint, they're saying, well, if LeBron retires in a year, we need a cornerstone. We need a franchise guy. You know, whether it was Kareem or Magic or LeBron or Kobe, and it's going to be him. And then their task, because you give both general managers credit, they kept this thing really, really quiet. Agents didn't know. Coaches didn't know up until the last hour or so. Because normally stuff leaks around the league.
Not even Danny Ainge, who was the third team in this deal, yes, knew until like a half hour.
An hour. That's true. And he's Inspector Clouseau. He knows everything going on.
He got in there for just, what, 2 second round picks?
Well, he got for 2 seconds. He's probably now got 42 second round picks. But so it that deal is amazing. And it makes me believe there's going to be more. Like, I think the Warriors really want to make a deal. And you mentioned Durant. And if you want to talk about him now, we can. If you want to wait a few minutes.
Yeah, we could talk about Durant. I mean, he's still a hell of a basketball player.
36 years old and undoubtedly one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game. Two finals MVPs, you know, the championships with the Warriors. And if he didn't get hurt, this thing might have been 5-6 years, and maybe he wouldn't even left. But, you know, they've got to evaluate down there. Now, they've got a new owner, in a guy's name's Matt Ishbia, and he was a bench player, a walk-on at Michigan State. And you know who was the star of the team then? Jason Richardson.
Mm.
So he's tight with him. And this guy is an owner, like some are today, that he thinks he knows, because he's been very successful in business, that he knows what's going on there with the basketball. And I want you to think about Michigan State. And who else went to Michigan State?
A certain Draymond Green?
Yes. So I'm not crossing that off my list. I'm not trying to start a rumor, but they might discuss that. That's how much respect he has for Draymond. And there'd be other pieces, whether it's Wiggins or Kuminga, whatever. And why would you get Durant if you were the Warriors? Well, Steph's going to be 37 here in a couple months. And we talked about a number two scorer. And you know what? While Steph's here, you want to go for it. You want to win as much as you can, because you've got the greatest shooter in the history of the game, a revered player in the league. So that discussion does not surprise me at all. Not at all, Mark.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's still an amazing player. And in fact, I wanted to play this for you, and I'll let you react. Steve Kerr was on a few hours ago on our afternoon show, Willard and Dibbs, here on 95.7 The Game. And he had this to say about Kevin Durant, the player. He wasn't, of course, talking about any trade rumors. He can't do that because nothing has happened.
Sure.
But just specifically, KD, the player who came into Chase Center and beat the Warriors on Friday. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say.
Yeah, he's timeless, that guy. He really is. And, you know, I just coached him this past summer, coached him in Tokyo in 21. So it's been a privilege coaching Kevin and watching him, you know, as an opponent. He's just a beautiful basketball player, just maybe the smoothest scorer who's ever played the game.
Well said by Steve. He's spot on. And, you know, this is a guy who loves the game. And, boy, does he work at his craft. A lot of guys say with the Warriors, they learned a lot watching how he prepared and what his pregame ritual or after-practice ritual was. This guy's one of the all-time greats. So, you're right. I mean, he came in the other night with Booker and Beal. And, you know, they had a good night. The Warriors did not. And they put it to him. But Phoenix, as we noted, I think is at a crossroads. They were losing tonight to Philadelphia, Embiid's first game back in a month. I don't know if it's final yet. And so they're, you know, around 500, and they're not going to get up above with those top four teams. So I think they were dreaming. You know, they got disgusted, and they made a coaching change. And frankly, it hasn't done a bit of difference, whether it was Frank Vogel, who won a world championship, you know, with the Lakers, or Mike Budenholzer, who, you know, was in Milwaukee. And so, you know, you're looking, and it's those players on the floor. And they've had problems at their big spot. You know, Nurkic is readily available. They just got Richards. So I'm not crossing that off my list. Here we are Tuesday night, And I'm gonna have that in my mind all the way till Thursday, midday.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing we can say with a good amount of certainty is that the Warriors have called the Suns about Kevin Durant, but who knows exactly how far along those discussions are, or if it even is realistic. But there is a lot of rumors going on about that. It actually is the Mavericks who took on the Sixers today. The Suns were in Portland yesterday.
Oh, that's right. They got beat in overtime.
Yeah, and they played Portland not two nights in a row, but two games in a row in Portland. They lost both of those games. So after the Warriors win on Friday, they go up to Portland and lose consecutive games. They are taking on OKC tomorrow, but they're off today. But don't let Friday night fool you, Saint. This is a Suns team that, kind of like the Warriors, is kind of stuck in the middle. They're right around the same area of the standings, right around 500. And considering the big money they have tied up with Booker and Durant and Bradley Beal, who might be the most difficult contract in the league to move.
Absolutely.
Because he has only one of two no-trade clauses, the other is LeBron, they are in the middle of trying to figure out, one, if they could get Jimmy Butler in here potentially, but that would take Bradley Beal to waive his no-trade clause. They are trying to figure out what is even possible, and so much of it is out of their own hands because of that no-trade clause.
Yeah, you're spot on. Well explained. You know, I don't blame Bradley Beal. I got to meet him when Greg was with Phoenix last year, and he's got three wonderful children and a wonderful wife, and they're down there in the Valley of the Sun. They love it. Good schools. And he's saying, why the heck should I give that up? And I don't blame him at all. It's not his fault that he's got the no-trade clause. And so with that said, I'm kind of crossing him off, which means that if the Suns want to do something, it's going to be somebody else moving around. And it makes you think, you know, they're not going to move Booker. He just, you know, he's young and he just became the all-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
And so that's a franchise to really watch. There's some that are going to be quiet, and then there's others to watch. And that would be one in the West that I'd really keep my ear to.
Yeah, I think the Suns are probably the team that kind of controls everything going on in the deadline, because everyone's waiting for the Jimmy Butler domino to fall, and the Jimmy Butler domino might not be able to fall if the Bradley Beal domino doesn't fall, and then what other dominoes fall as a result of that other falling or not. I think that is where this whole conversation begins and ends. But we were talking before we went to break, Saint, and this is Mark Randy and Gary St. Jean. I'm in for Kevin Dana on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. You can give us a call, shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. One of our previous callers, Saint, mentioned that he thinks the Warriors, or asked you what you think the Warriors need, and mentioned a stretch big. I know you agreed. They also just need some shooting anywhere. They could use another two who can shoot consistently, a wing who can shoot consistently. They just need shooting, period. It almost doesn't matter what position it comes from, Saint.
Isn't it kind of crazy the way they started the season? And you know, Buddy Hield was knocking down shot after shot after shot, and now you've seen him and Schroeder, they're really cold. So the perimeter shooting, both nights, versus the Suns, and then that thing last night, I think they left the garage doors open on either end of the Chase Center, and there was a big wind, because there were a lot of bricks being thrown by both teams. Now, we give Orlando credit. They're one of the top three defensive teams in the league, but I'm telling you, the Warriors had a ton of good looks, and they didn't knock many down. And I think it was a heck of a win against a team that's been really banged up, but last month was playing terrific. And I'm looking at the game, and I'm just looking at Wiggins. Heck of a game. There's your number two guy, and the guy that I hope continues to get minutes and produces, because I really like his game, is Moses Moody. Mm. I think he's far more mature than his age. You know, he hasn't put his head down and complained. He's kept on working. Just hear all good things about him. I made a great move across the lane last night that I didn't even know he had. It was a good head fake. It reminded me of some of the guys in the old days. And so you're hoping he plays well, but this is a collective effort. You need a lot of guys. And yes, are they missing Kuminga? Sure, because he's your best guy playing downhill. And that's a big factor, because you can't you know, the Celtics are shooting 53s a game, but they still get to the rack with Brown and Tatum. And you need to get some paint penetration, either finish at the rim, but make the defense contract to kick it out to open three guys. And Podziemski's playing better of late. And, you know, it's been a rotation now that's not set. And they're looking for guys. Play consistent. As a coach, you don't, you're not going to be dictatorial with the minutes. You want guys to tell you who to play. If you're playing well, you get in the rotation. And it's been really, really inconsistent.
Yeah, it has been. One guy who has been playing really well of late, and you already brought him up, is Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, if we're handing out game balls for last night's performance, my first game ball goes to Wiggins, 25 points. Wasn't his normal self on the rebounds, on the glass, only a couple. But what I love from Andrew Wiggins, and I think it's what has frustrated Warrior fans at times, Saint, is there's games where he's very aggressive and he's getting to the rim and he's getting to the free throw line, and then there's games where that just kind of all disappears. 15 free throw attempts yesterday, Saint. In a game where you only shoot 43% from the field, you got to get to the line, and he got to the line 15 times.
You're making me laugh. You must listen to Kevin and I, because I don't want to be critical of anybody, but I would share that 2 years ago when they won the championship, he was terrific on Amazing. Both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, special.
I mean, second best player on a championship
team.
Yes,
on a championship team. And it's been inconsistent. And, you know, you need him as that second scorer, but you also, listen, Steph Curry averages more rebounds than he and Kuminga. I think I'm pretty close on that. And come on, guys. Come on, get in there and get after a little bit. Because if you rebound, the beauty of this team is when it gets in the open floor, it's a great thing to watch. But you got to get stops, you got to get deflections, defensive rebounds to get out there. You know, he's a terrific young guy, and I just hope he can put a stretch together here where he's real consistent. Because if he does, he makes this a different team. And heck, we're only like five games away from the All-Star break, and the word is hopefully that Kuminga will be back by then. So, you know, then you're adding a lot of athleticism, and, you know, this is going to be a heck of a race. You just up the guys 90 miles up the road, the Kings, huge trade, you know, with Fox, and they bring in LaVine, and they got three firsts and three seconds. Well, that was a player saying he didn't want to re-sign there. So they did pretty good. And why do I bring them up? Because I think the Spurs are, unless Fox brings some real fire down there, I think the Spurs are going to be playing from the outside looking in. So there's 11 teams for 10 spots. So we're talking Warriors, Kings, Lakers, Phoenix, Minnesota, those teams there. I just don't see Houston, Memphis, Denver and those guys, OKC, any of them sliding down. One team I haven't mentioned is the Clippers, who are playing against the Lakers after this. I'm really impressed with them, and my old pal Jeff Van Gundy has gone with Ty Lue, and that team there is playing beautiful team basketball.
Yeah, I mean, they've been one of the surprises because they haven't had Kawhi for the majority of the year.
Great job.
They got rid of Paul George and got nothing in return for him, and yet just ho-hum, they're seven games over 500 still. But it's interesting because there's so many teams that are jumbled up around the Warriors.
Oh.
The Kings, the Suns, the Warriors, and the Mavericks are all essentially tied for eighth place. They're all one game over 500. The Mavericks are 26 and 25. Everybody else is 25 and 24. But essentially, everybody is tied. And the Kings have made a move. The Dallas Mavericks have made a move. And then one spot behind the Mavericks, three games behind them, is the Spurs, who have made a move. So you've got teams all around the Warriors who have made moves at this trade deadline. And I think, Saint, as we talk about the Luka Doncic deal, obviously it feels like a lot of people think, and I feel this way, that the Lakers won that deal because the lack of picks going back to Dallas seemed like pretty small. But you could argue, I don't know how you feel, Saint, maybe the Lakers are worse off this season alone, and maybe the Mavericks may be a little better off. I don't know. But in the future, it's a different conversation. But at least right now, I mean, the Lakers have no centers on their roster without Anthony Davis.
Well, you know, I'm from the school of Nelly, So I don't have any problems at all playing Smith and Hashimura, one of those matching up with the five, and say, okay, you got a big lumbering five. You got to match up with my active guys down the other end. We don't see any dominant low post play anymore. So the center, you're hoping today, can get rebounds and contest at the rim defensively. And so you look at them, and sure, they're not going to be as good defensively. There isn't any doubt about it. But, you know, if you're the assistant coach and you're putting them on the up on the whiteboard in the visitor's locker room, you're trying to figure out, well, who the heck am I going to, if I'm going to put this guy on LeBron, who am I going to put on Doncic? So offensively, they're going to be fun to watch. The interesting thing, they've won 8 out of 10, the Lakers.
Yeah.
And the last couple were without Davis. And they're really defending very well. And so we'll see what the heck happens there. And you mentioned defense. Well, you look at Dallas, and their strength is going to be their front line. Wow, it looks like Lively's out for the rest of the season, but, you know, Davis wants to play four, so you got Gafford there. And Washington, both of those guys were acquired in trades. He's done a great job at the three, so that's a big, big front line. And, you know, Kyrie's in a contract year, so you know he's going to bring it. And then, what's that guy's name? Klay Thompson? You know, we'll see, you know, how consistent he can be. But they're deep. They've got a lot of depth. They just made a deal today. Was it Grimes?
Yeah, Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To Philly for the Martin, the young guy that played at UNN Reno for Eric Musselman. And I like his toughness. He's a good, tough kid.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting team. The Warriors do play both the Lakers and the Mavericks coming up. The Warriors are in L.A. against the Lakers on February 6th, so Thursday, 2 days from now. That'll be after the trade deadline comes to a close. Don't expect to see Luka Doncic make his debut then. It'll likely be the Lakers' next game. I believe they have two games against Utah after
that. Yeah, Saturday they play Indiana. He may play in that. And if he doesn't, it'll be the last two games before the break, one home against Utah and the other one on the road.
Because Luka isn't just being traded, but he's also recovering from a calf injury that has kept him out since around Christmas.
And you know what, Mark, I can share with you, Greg worked him out last night, I think it was, or yesterday, that he was really impressed. He was actually better than Greg thought. He's not that much overweight. And he's not having any problems with his calf. So it's getting your stamina back and getting the rust, you know, off the engine. But it's like we've chatted about. He could go out there, not pick up a ball for 3 weeks, had been hurt. And that guy, he could go out there and get you 30, 10, and 10. I mean, he's an amazingly gifted guy. He's got a feel for the game that very, very few have ever had. It's just amazing.
Yeah, he's a natural, no doubt. And then the Warriors will see Dallas February 12th, the second-to-last game before the trade deadline. That is in Dallas. I would imagine we'll see Anthony Davis playing by then. He did not play for the Mavericks tonight in their loss against Philadelphia. All right, time for a break here on Warriors Roundtable. That's Gary St. Jean. I'm Mark Randy, filling in for Kevin Dana. We got one more segment to get to. Plenty more time for your calls and texts. 888-957-9570. We can talk a little bit more about the Warriors last night. Draymond Green returned. The defense was elite. Also, we got to talk about Steph shooting and what Moses Moody is doing for this team as well. All of that is coming up. And hey, Dub Nation, score big with a Warriors road trip. Download the Chevron app for a chance to win two away game tickets in Sacramento, a one-night hotel stay, and more. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or over to enter. More Warriors Roundtable coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Kevin Dana here on Warriors Roundtable tonight. Mark Randy filling in. He'll be back next week. Gary St. Jean here, as always, on 95.7 The Game on Warriors Roundtable. And have a chance to tell you about our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Tomorrow, the Warriors in Utah, 6 p.m. is the tip time, which means 5:30 airtime with network pregame. Then the following day in L.A. against the Lakers on Thursday, 7 o'clock tip time, 6:30 with the airtime. Over the weekend, Warriors in Chicago against the Bulls on Saturday, 5 o'clock tip time, 4:30 airtime. Monday, February 10th, 6 days from now in Milwaukee against Giannis, 5 o'clock tip time, 4:30 airtime. And then Wednesday, as I mentioned before we went to break, in Dallas on February 12th, 6:30 is the tip time, 6 o'clock airtime. Upcoming broadcasts, again, presented by Ticketmaster. And as always, you can hear every one of those games right here on 95.7 The Game. Saint, the Warriors got a much-needed win yesterday, bouncing back after the rough loss by 25 on Friday against KD and the Suns. It was a game they kind of had to win twice because they built the lead after a slow start, and then it felt like another fourth-quarter collapse. But then down the stretch, they got the stops they needed, made just enough buckets, and they eke out a narrow win. It doesn't really matter how the wins come at this point, Saint. You just need the wins, and they got the win. That's all that matters, right?
There's not a darn thing wrong with winning ugly. And it was that kind of game. And you're up 15 and you're thinking you're at home and this banged up young team is really struggling. I'm talking about Orlando. And you find a way to get it done in the fourth quarter. What sticks out to me is a drive from the left side that Draymond made across the paint. I thought that was a big, big basket. And just to have him back, you know, he's the fulcrum to the wheel on the defense. Everything revolves around him. He allows you to switch because he can guard smalls. He can guard the bigs. And, you know, he's had a lot of wear and tear because over the years, he's had to guard so many bigs and in there in the paint. And his heart's as big as, you know, Mustafa in The Lion King. I just have so much admiration for how he plays the game every single night. And I'm hoping he can stay healthy. And we've been talking about Wiggins. Well, when a couple guys and three, four guys are playing well, that makes the defense not have all five guys guard Steph Curry. And that's what you're seeing. Like, they're double-teaming him, triple-teaming him. And, you know, he's the best in the business at moving without the ball. And when he's out top in the pick-and-roll action, early offense, he has the read of seeing if the defender goes under or over the screen. He's seeing if they switch. And he's reading that. If he gets a big on him, then he's going to work on that size mismatch and probably get a step back on that guy. And, you know, he's a little banged up with his knees. But I'd like to think here as we get to the finish, this is a big time right now. You know, who plays well these last five or six teams? You mentioned all those teams that are so closely knit together. Who's going to play well out of those teams? And who's going to start the second half and come out of the gates really, really well? And, you know, we've seen a change, for example, with the bigs. We're seeing Post getting the chance to play. And, you know, Davis hasn't been playing. And when you're young, man, you got to bring it every single day and every single game. And nobody's going to hand you minutes. And you got to get out there and do what you do best to help the team win. And, you know, I just like the way Moody played and Podzimski's playing better. And you're hoping that there's some consistency then with the starters. And, you know, you get yourself a couple wins. When you look at this thing, you can get the Lakers on Thursday. They're going to be in between. You think about this every time that the Lakers have beat them twice. And the main guy on Steph is Christie, who was involved in the trade to Dallas. So who the heck on that team is going to guard Steph? I don't know. I'm waiting for my son Greg to tell me. Because there's some winnable games here as we get toward the end here. And So we just got to hope that they start knocking down some shots and getting going here.
Yeah, and last time the Lakers played the Warriors, it was here at Chase, and it was Anthony Davis who just dominated the Warriors when Draymond didn't play. And there's no Anthony Davis on LA anymore, and as we already talked about, Luka is not going to be ready to make his debut. So you're going to catch a Laker team that is a little bit shorthanded, which is a little bit of fortune there for the Warriors. I'm glad you brought up Draymond, though, Saint, because it was his first game back. He's missed a good chunk of time. He returned, played like 3 minutes a couple of weeks ago, and then immediately aggravated his calf and missed the last handful of games. Returned last night. I don't think there's any surprise, Saint, that he returns and the Warriors' defense holds an opponent under 100 points. Now, a lot of it is this is a Magic team that is a little bit offensively challenged right now, and they've had injuries, Banchero and Wagner. I think still trying to both get back into a rhythm on offense after they've come back from their injuries. We know what Draymond does defensively, Saint. I also think we maybe overlook how important he is to Steph's offense. And I know Steph didn't have a great shooting night last night, but there is something to say that there's no one else in the world who can get Steph the ball in the right spots as often and as accurate as Draymond does.
Now, I think you'll know, but I'll explain to the listeners. What is an ATO?
That's out of timeout.
After a timeout, what do you come out with? Now, you normally are going to enter from the side, but it could be the baseline. And I happen to think that this is one of Steve Kerr's many, many strengths. He, out of the timeouts, he draws up great stuff. And it's always great. We always say this, great players make plays great. And he had one last night with Draymond. Now, you made a good point here. We know how he can pass and pick. We know how he can dribble handoff. And one of his favorite things, and this was a read on he and Steph, they came out and they jumped to Steph. He didn't pick up his dribble. His shoulder faked that he was going to hand it to Steph, and he waltzed in there for a layup. And that's one of my favorite plays. This is something that he does terrific. And there's a stat. I don't have it in front of me. But the number of times he's assisted Steph is just unbelievable. So not only great on the defensive end, but I'm 100% with you on the offense. Because I'm going to go all the way back to my early days in Milwaukee in this late 70s. We had Marcus Johnson, and we ran point forward with him because our other guards, none of them were really great handlers. Well, then we drafted Paul Pressey, and he was a point forward. And Nelly loved the point forward concept. And Draymond, to me, I'm going to use the phrase point power forward. That's because he's in there in the paint dealing with all the bigs, but yet he can be out there running the break, initiating the half-court offense, and he makes their offense and what they do very, very unique. There isn't anybody that I can just mention here that has that tool set that he has.
Yeah. Well said, Saint. Draymond, importance still very clear to this Warrior team. Now, we'll see what comes at the trade deadline. Maybe a bunch of things change. Maybe it stays the same if Draymond is still on this Warriors basketball team. He, of course, is going to have a really big role, and the Warriors need consistency from everyone involved going forward. Saint, that's all we got time for tonight. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you for the last 56 minutes. Kevin,
great job. It flew by.
Yeah, it really did. And I look forward to the next edition of Warriors Roundtable. Thanks so much, Saint.
Great to be with you.
You too. All right, that's Gary St. Jean. My name is Mark Randy. Thanks so much for tuning in. Warriors Roundtable back next week when Kevin Dana will be back. Until then, we've got Warriors basketball coming up tomorrow. Dubs in Utah against the Jazz. That game tips off at 6, 5:30 airtime with the network pregame. Coverage begins at 5, though, right here on 95.7 The Game. And, of course, we'll be talking Dubs all day long on 95.7 The Game tomorrow. For Gary St. Jean, for R.C. Davis, for Marika Kleto, everybody else on the Warriors side, for Lucas Alexander, I'm Mark Randy signing off. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk next time on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout. because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.